guy.
Hello, everybody. I'm Andrew.
And Seth.
Welcome to the podcast on the Edge of Forever, where we talk about Star Trek and you listen to us talk about Star Trek.
Yeah, I guess.
Today's episode is Season 1, Episode 2, The Man Trap. Let's actually talk about it. So everybody goes down. They're called down to a planet to resupply, like, a single scientist
and his wife. It makes sense.
I'm guessing they're archaeologists because he's studying the ruins of some ancient civilization.
He's an anthropologist.
Anthropologist, sorry.
Because he...
Fucking embarrassing on my part.
Because he couldn't get a real degree.
Okay, well, so right away we meet the wife, who is an old girlfriend of Bones.
The fiance. Ex-fiance, right?
Did they say ex-fiance?
That's what I thought.
So an old flame of Bones. And right away, we know that something's not right in the hinterlands, because everybody sees something different, right? Bones sees the girl he was in love with. Kirk sees a woman of appropriate age. Crewman McSworthy McRapey is... that's not his real name. My apologies. That's not canon. The crewman sees some hooker that he saw on one of the pleasure planets.
With a real just ironclad face. God, her face looked like the bow of a fucking old dreadnought battleship, just ready to ram into something to sink it.
All right, okay. I was not focused on that impression, but...
Well, I'm superficial.
Great, all right.
Just derailed it.
So right away, the anthropologist... doesn't want to be medically examined, acts like he's put out, getting yearly or bi-yearly medical examination. That's going to take no time and get him valuable supplies. So he needs to stop being such a baby back bitch about it.
Well, why is just him and his wife the only two people on there?
Maybe that's all that's needed?
Really, no one else?
I guess. I mean, there's not a lot of people up in Antarctica doing science.
There's more than two. And they're not on Antarctica for fucking, like, 5 years.
Right, they've been there for 5 years.
And it's not Antarctica they're on. They're on a planet that used to have a civilization that went away. What? That lived in apparently one temple and some Stonehenge-esque ruins.
I'm sure there's other sites on the planet.
And probably.
Oh, the point is, I don't know why, but it didn't seem unfeasible to me that two guys would work on a project that probably doesn't have a lot of importance, and that they would just be resupplied, and they probably have a small supply of things that they need, but you know, every once in a while they run out of salt, as this episode would have it.
Yeah, the planet's hot.
Although nobody's ever sweating in the episode, just hot.
No,
just hot.
Kirk. Oh, yeah, Kirk is now captain, not Kirk fucking Pike.
Right, we neglected to mention that the entire crew that you recognize, you, the listeners, will recognize Kirk, Spock, Bones, Yeoman Rand, Sulu.
Uhura.
The other person you don't see is Scotty.
No Scotty.
You
or
hear
Chekhov.
Yeah, no, well, Chekhov doesn't come on until season two.
Oh, well, then I was way off. No, you don't hear Scotty. The guy running the transporter, who's not the hard-up Italian guy or his Vietnamese assistant. They are neither there. It's just some random guy that is not Scotty.
So right away, we got a crewman that dies. Not a red shirt. That's not a thing yet. It's a science officer, I believe.
It's
because he's wearing blue. Blue is a science officer thing.
But he's the vaguely rapey crewman who says inappropriate things to the doctor's wife.
Right. When he meets the doctor's wife, he's basically like, hey, aren't you a hooker that I met earlier?
Yeah.
And then she walks out and he sees the hooker. So he follows her to, I don't know, get a quickie behind some ruins or something.
I don't know.
Anyway, then you hear the screaming. Everybody comes out. And the first time I watched the episode, I thought the screaming was the crewman, which maybe it was, but now, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's Nancy.
Yeah, it's a woman screaming.
Yeah. So you see the dead crewman, and they're like, oh no, we got to find out why he's dead. Because, you know, that's what you do when somebody mysteriously dies. But again, this anthropologist is just like, what? He's dead. Who gives a shit? Get out of here.
Yeah, he's like, oh, he ate that plant he wasn't supposed to. And it's like, well, okay, why is his face covered in fucking weird red circles?
Yeah.
Like a fucking kraken attacked his face.
Yeah. I was going to say hate fucked by an octopus, but kraken attack.
Well, either way. Giant squid joke.
Yeah, so then we get our first view of the, not the first view of the bridge, but our first view of Spock in command. Now not looking jaundiced. His ears are a little rounded. His eyebrows are a reasonable chola thin. And at an appropriate angle to show that he is an alien, but a humanoid alien. And he finally is he's acting like a Vulcan.
Well, the bridge is very different.
Oh, yeah. The bridge is, no longer just packed full of white people.
Well, it looks like it's more compact. It's definitely darker. The lighting isn't a workable bright white light like you would expect on any kind of anything. There's a lot of reds for some reason and just no light in spot. And blue lights up in the fucking ceiling that only shine at the ceiling for some reason.
Okay, I did not notice those set changes.
Oh. Did you notice that the inside of that stone temple they were examining had a bunch of like weird red filter lights everywhere also?
Yes, I did notice that.
Because that's how fucking light works.
Well, it's hot in the planet.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty... It's fucking hot in Egypt. Let's go inside one of those pyramids and see what color... Oh, there's no fucking light.
There could have been a skylight that we didn't see, or...
Yeah, it's true. There could have been.
Or he could have just had lights running in there, like run some lights in there.
Is he having so a fucking could do rave?
Maybe.
Yes.
He's got all the salt tablets. Maybe it's because he's been doing a lot of E. We'll find out as the episode unfolds.
Well, we already know. We watched the thing.
Yeah, I know. So the first thing I notice is Uhura is kind of flirting with Spock.
Desperately flirting.
Yeah.
Like the most desperate type of Hollywood writer flirting.
That's what I'm saying. And then I thought, is that one scene the basis for the entire Spock Uhura romance in the reboot?
I don't know. Maybe.
That single scene, like, oh, clearly something existed so we can milk that to make it different.
I don't know. All of his reactions to every terrible thing that she's saying to him is kind of like he wants to just get rid of her or physically hurt her.
No, I don't think like physically hurt her.
He's pissed. For a Vulcan that's not supposed to show emotions, he is legitimately pissed that she's talking to him and he doesn't like what she's saying.
I think it's more he's short. He's short with her. Like no tolerance for this tomfoolery.
Oh.
That's what I'm thinking. That's kind of what I got from it.
Fair enough.
I mean, because this is the first scene where they establish Spock's Vulcan-ness.
Yeah, his his use of the word logic.
Yeah, he uses the word logic. So then we get to Bones in the medical room with the corpse and Kirk. He says there's no trace. Like, no. It's like, I cannot figure out why this guy's dead. And Kirk's like, well, I mean, what about that poison? He's like, yeah, you think I didn't check for poison? Of course he... And then it's just a weird, like, Kirk is not asking him, like, inquisitively. It's almost like he's grilling him, like, Bones is an idiot to me. Like, that's what I was getting from it. It was very, aggressive. Aggressive for two friends. Like almost like he doesn't trust the doctor.
I made a big deal that one of his crew members was dead.
Yeah.
And really wanted to find out. Thankfully, that's not a theme that continues in the rest of the series or movies.
Oh, you mean...
Where he gives a shit about the crew?
Yeah. Later on, it's just... Every time they get hit by something, 20 dead.
Yeah. Who died? Oh, so who gives a shit? What color was his shirt?
I don't know any of those people.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know him, and I don't care to know him.
So then we get on the ship, and they get that transmission from, like, oh God, what was that captain's name? Anyway, he's bringing him Mexican chilies.
Oh yeah,
but you get kind of
Mexican Reds.
I handpicked him.
What was his name?
Captain.
It's like Chavez or something.
Yeah, it's something pretty common.
It was a little racist.
Yeah, he could have. They didn't have to give him a. I guess they didn't have to give him a. Hispanic name, could have been any name, and just been like, I'm bringing you chilies. But I thought that was the first, like, that's the Kirk that we know and love, just that smirking bastard.
It didn't even need to have it in the episode.
Oh, no. It served no purpose except to serve a break between the first medical scene and the second medical scene.
Yeah.
Because then immediately later, he goes back in, and Bones is like, oh, I figured it out. 2 minutes after you left, I figured out how he died.
Yeah. As soon as the doors started shutting, I was like, oh, well, I'll test for this fucking thing.
Yeah, and it's a fucking salt death.
They had no salt.
They died from having all the salt pulled out of their bodies. Which, I guess having any mineral completely evacuated from your body at once could cause your body to go into some kind of shock.
I didn't want to Google it.
I haven't done any research.
You know, let's just go with, yeah, if you don't have fucking salt, you die. I know that that's true, but I'm sure there's like a 20-minute grace period. Not like, oh, no, you're just fucking dead. Yeah. If you need your head caught off, it still does shit for a couple minutes.
Yeah, I mean, diabetics at least go into a coma first.
Maybe future humans aren't that resilient.
So they go back down to the surface, and we get two more dead crewmen, like, already. And they get there, they're questioning the anthropologist. He's a real indignant, like, yeah, we're out of salt. Of course we need salt. It's a medical necessity down here. Then there's two dead bodies immediately. And now it's pretty obvious that it's Nancy that did it. We'll keep calling her Nancy until we figure out otherwise. Nancy then disguises herself as Crewman Green. I believe you had a different name for him?
He's Crewman Fetal Alcohol Syndrome because his eyes are way too far apart.
So Crewman Fetal Alcohol Syndrome.
Yeah.
Beams up with them because they want to get off the planet.
But he's actually
Nancy, yeah. Or whatever. Clearly the bad guy. The monster. Wow, what is it? Before they beam up, Bones is like, no, we gotta find Nancy before we leave. And I like that Kirk lays down, stop thinking with your glands.
Yeah.
Which is a much more professional version of stop thinking with your dick.
Well, yeah, that just goes without saying.
Yeah,
Should have said, stop thinking with your fucking Trilogians. That would have been
stop thinking with your twin telosions.
Serious.
Yeah, we're working that in now.
Upside down scrotes.
So then they beam up. Crewman fetal alcohol syndrome starts falling around Yeoman Rand. It's the first we see of Yeoman Rand, who has the most.
Why did you say Yeoman like that? Yeoman. That's canon now.
You know what? Yeoman. You know what? I'm gonna because I've never heard another human being say it.
They say it on the show.
The fucking show.
The thing where what are you retarded? Anyway.
I just mispronounced it, alright? Sorry.
So just say sorry. This is all gonna get cut.
So Yeoman Rand
is walking around with a
tray of food and there's some salt on it. And crewman fetal alcohol syndrome is like
mm-hmm. What I didn't get was she's got the tray of food and she's waiting by like the elevator, the turbo lift. Sorry. She doesn't go into that turbo lift. She walks away from it.
Yeah.
So she left it and then just hung out there. But the plate that she's carrying has a salt shaker and a pepper shaker for some fucking reason. And the salt shaker is really large for the plate of food that she has that is like four slices of bok choy and she eats one of them.
Oh, she does eat a little piece of it. I forgot.
Just takes a bite of this celery-like food and then just hangs out by the fucking turbo lift.
Yeah. Oh, another thing I noticed is that the crewman fetal alcohol syndrome is packing heat like on the bridge, or not on the bridge, like just on deck. And then it's not just out of, like, that's the alien, so maybe doesn't know better, and maybe that gun's not real because it's apparently just changing its appearance. But other people are just packing like around the bridge or on deck. Just kind of weird. There's not like a thing going on where they need guns. They're just all carrying.
Well, Kirk just never took his off. Like, the entire time until he goes back down to the planet. He just always has a gun. Because it's Kirk and, you know.
But there are other guys also that weren't part of the away mission.
Yeah.
Wearing guns.
Everyone in their Snuggies.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I love the new uniforms. Now that we're into the standard uniform.
Those boot heels just got higher and higher on those Italian.
The finest Italian boots.
God, they're
fantastic.
They're nice. Sometimes you need poofy legged pants also to go with fine Italian boots. Because why not? The future.
Yeah. So Yeoman Rand walks past just two crewmen who say something like, imagine if she was your personal yeoman. Rawr, rawr. They might as well have made wolf howls. But then crewman fetal alcohol syndrome is very creepily like, might as well be like creepy sneaking behind her. If I'm those two crewmen, I'm thinking, is crewman Foss going to rape her?
Probably.
Because he's just
yeah, but I mean, creeping the way behind. They like walked up to her and then turned around to catcall at her, but not actually at her, just amongst themselves, that's just as scummy as creepily following a woman carrying a plate of food that's clearly not for her, but for someone else, and she's eating pieces off of it, because apparently nobody gives a shit about fucking etiquette in the goddamn future. Just, yeah, bringing this food to someone else, I'm going to fucking eat a piece of it. Whatever. Fuck you. There's four slices of bok choy on here. You know what? You get three. Then I'm going to walk by these two dudes who clearly are in some sort of military thing, and I probably have a little bit of higher rank than they do. And, yeah, it's okay for them to just make a fucking cat call at me. Whatever. Also, my hair is interwoven like a goddamn brick adobe house. and requires 7 hours of maintenance a day. Because it's high-functioning fucking nuclear blast shelter. What? Why is her hair fucking like a Kevlar bulletproof vest?
Maybe just it's so
intricate, interwoven.
Maybe in the future it's like fast to do that. She has a machine. She just whoop, puts on her head and beehive checkerboards her hair.
It's stupid. It's just fucking stupid.
Then Yeoman Rand takes the food to Sulu. First time we see Sulu.
Sulu's in the big botanical garden.
He's in like a garden. Yeah, I don't know. He's what he's doing in there.
He doesn't make any reference to there being a half-eaten piece of his fucking Vietnamese celery either. I'd be pissed.
Yeah, I would be pissed if I know my meal was partially eaten. But maybe he doesn't. I mean, he's really wrapped up in the plant that is definitely not a hand.
It is 100% not a hand in some sort of weird paper mache cone covered in pink fucking paper. That talks for some reason. It talked and made like purrs.
Yeah. So I wonder when Crewman Fetal Alcohol Syndrome walks in, the plant like freaks out, but not when he walks past it. Or is like if he had touched it and it freaked out, that would have made sense. Or if he had lingered by it, maybe. But it's after he walks past it, and then he approaches the others, and he goes to grab the salt, and then the plant barks like a whimpering dog or whatever, you know.
Yeah, it did a freak out, like shaking and making, you know, talking plant hand noises that everyone's just like, oh, that's weird, it's doing that.
Yeah.
And then it went back into its cone.
There's just no real
and purpose in Crewman Fetal Alcohol Syndrome just fucking leaves.
Yeah. And like, oh shit, the plant is on to me. I gotta run.
And everyone's just like, oh, weird. Weird that plant did that thing, and this crewman who's been walking around and following me and hasn't said a fucking word to anyone since he's been on the ship.
Yeah, at all.
Left. Huh. Obviously no connection there whatsoever to anything weird.
So as soon as he leaves, he sees it like Uhura, and he turns into Crewman Handsome Black Guy.
Knockoff Sidney Poitier.
Yeah, knockoff Sidney Poitier. Wouldn't that be awesome if Sidney Poitier was that, like, if that was him? I mean, it's not, but it would have been great if he had played that role.
It would have been so much better, because she asks if she's seen him before. And he says that he's the guy she sees when she wants someone because she's lonely. And she says something else after that. I stopped paying attention because I was like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, so then he moves in like he's going to get romantic, or what would appear to her as though he's going to get romantic. But then he brings his hands up in what is a clear strangling choking motion. And I don't care how handsome that dude is, if someone brings their hands up to choke you without you being into choking, which is her into choking, I don't know. That's a whole separate podcast where we talk about Star Trek characters' fetishes. We might have to do this later. Do that later.
Well, I'm pretty sure the guy that plays Chekhov did that drunk at a convention once. You can YouTube it.
Oh.
Yeah, that's rough. He did that whole, like, I'm the man of your dreams thing. And then they started speaking Swahili together, like, at each other, which really doesn't make any fucking sense whatsoever.
Well, she speaks Swahili. That comes up, you know, later on in the series.
No, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever because this is a fucking alien.
But the alien's telepathic. It reads people.
It fucking learned Swahili?
I mean, that seems like a lot, yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure Uhura was like, oh, here's this crew member I've never seen before who's attractive. He just said some weird shit to me. But everything that I'm thinking in my mind is not in English, but Swahili. And he's deciphered it immediately.
Okay. I definitely didn't think of that before.
Yeah. Thanks, weird alien shapeshifter, mind reader.
I don't think it shapeshifts. I think it's an illusion.
Illusion.
I don't think it's a physical shape change.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, it alters observers' perceptions and can speak Swahili. Instantly, it's Google fucking Translate. Instantly learns another language.
Right, so they're interrupted by, you know, a call from the bridge. But all I'm thinking is, as soon as that dude brings his hands up to, like, sucking the salt out of your body motion, and not in a sexy way.
We don't know that yet.
Looks like a choking motion. I would have been like, whoa, you need to back up.
It was a very slow, we're going to stare at each other's eyes in the middle of this hallway as I push you further against this fucking wall with my very presence and bring my hands up to your throat.
Yeah, very threatening and scary is my point.
And she did absolutely zero. Just stood there and was going to get choked to death.
Yeah, so we crew members kind of start dying. We go down to the planet to get the anthropologist. He does not want anything to do with it. He's, in fact, shooting the phaser from the pilot at them, and he really goes full bore, because that first blast, like, explodes and rocks fall down. Like, not a warning shot. That's a potential kill.
Oh, yeah, that pepper mill was sweet. It was like a fucking rocket launcher.
Yeah, he fires a rocket-propelled grenade at them. And then they do a classic, you know, sneaking up on him maneuver where the film is not sped up at all. I'm just kidding. Yeah, the film is, in fact, sped up when he gets shot.
Oh, yeah, and it makes a, like, twang noise for some reason.
Yeah, you're right. It does.
When it stuns him, because apparently it ricocheted phased energy off of his fucking egg.
Maybe that was him falling on some fucking strings. I don't know.
Does he have an 1840s movie-style metal ass? He's a spittoon for an ass.
He fell into a spittoon on the not camera side, so you didn't see the spittoon.
His ass is a spittoon, and he fell into a spittoon out of frame. There, it makes sense.
So then he finally admits, like, you know, we find out that there's dead bodies on the ship, and he admits, like, yeah, it's a salt monster. Salt monster killed my wife a couple years ago.
Well, it's not. It's a monster that needs salt.
It eats salt.
But it's the last of its kind.
It's the last of its kind.
Was it? Did he even make reference to whether or not it was?
He doesn't.
Lived on the planet and created the society, and then it died.
Or references it being the buffalo, which is a terrible reference because the buffalo come back. Now I don't know if in the future, the buffalo are all gone. But that's a terrible reference. Also, if it's the last of its kind, you look, man, you can only protect that thing for so long. There's only one of them. They ain't coming back.
Well, I mean, yeah, probably Buffalo Bill Cody from fucking 2120 on his fucking hover speeder and pepper mill fucking double barrel rifle phaser. Yeah, he killed so many fucking...
They were used as cavalry in the eugenics war of the 90s.
Yeah. They all got dead.
So here's my question. Again. He talks about it needing companionship as much as love, as much as it needs, you know, the salt. And he's just so lonely, and I think...
Well, it killed his wife.
Yeah.
It ate the salt out of his wife, because apparently there's enough salt inside of a human being to sustain life.
But not in the minerals, in the rocks. Anyway, my thoughts were, he talks about, like, you know, it's not tricking me, it's doing it for me, for companionship. And I thought, Is he banging the salt monster? Is the salt monster turning into his wife? And he's just...
Probably.
And then it's just taking the salt out of his penis?
Well, yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Definitely what's happening. What I want to know is, why are there so many fucking glitter rocks on this planet that they're on? Every rock and concrete-esque structure has just a lot of glitter on it.
It's because there's not enough salt in the minerals to sustain the creature's life. So that brings the glittery elements to the... Well, I don't know. I'm not
a fucking glitteradium. There's no more sodium, so it's just called a fucking glitteradium.
It's only glitter elements. Elements in the glitter category.
The whole fucking planet ran out of salt? How does it even fucking happen? It doesn't make any fucking sense.
I mean, maybe the creature can't pull salt from the ground.
It can suck it out of a person's body. Do you know how it has to filter every ounce of blood out of the person, pump it back through, and then suck all the salt out of every possible other, all the organs and bones of the person?
It's a very specific evolution.
I mean, sucking all that salt out, they would just be a pile of goo. Because that's how fast it would work. You would have to pull all of the minerals out of a person at one time through your suckers. And it would just explode a person.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, man.
All right, well...
You're right. I mean, we both agree that the way it kills people is... it doesn't quite work scientifically.
I would be okay if it was even just, like, of Mice and Men style. Like, it tried to pull the salt out and then crushed it because it crushed the person's skull because it didn't know its own strength. Just Lenny style. But
Lenny style.
But yeah, okay, so it sucks out the salt in some space future thing. All right, cool. Anyway... It doesn't know how to operate, like, a mine?
Well, here's what I'm thinking. This comes up to my next point. It impersonates Bones, right? Bones, it impersonates Nancy, gets Bones to take sleeping pills, which old girlfriends can't trick me into taking sleeping pills, but Bones doesn't have that kind of sense. He didn't learn that from a series of girlfriends. It impersonates Bones. It goes to a meeting, and they talk about how, like, oh, the creature's intelligent. You know, if it's so intelligent, I mean, clearly it's interacting with people, it's talking, maybe it impersonates it instinctively, but if it's intelligent, why doesn't it just fucking ask for salt?
Well, it's...
Why doesn't it say, hey, they said we need salt, but then it immediately starts killing people.
Well, I mean, explaining its position... And saying, I need salt to survive, and there's no possible way I can control myself because I need it. It is a fundamental need for my species to have salt, and I'm starving to death because there is no fucking salt. So I accidentally killed some crew members. I'm very, very sorry. That's too hard. It can learn fucking Swahili, though.
Yeah, instantly. It's a point. Like, if it's intelligent, why isn't it just... Why don't they work it out a little bit? I mean, you killed that first one. You've been out of salt. Like, after that, it's like, okay, look, I am not Nancy. I'm a creature. I need salt. Or explain that shit. There's an alien down here that feeds off salt. It becomes feral if it doesn't get enough. It's used up most of my salt. It will probably kill me soon.
Well, then the anthropologist dude couldn't bang someone who could change its appearance.
He could still get more salt and then bang that.
Maybe he didn't want biologists coming down to study this new alien life form because the appearances that he wanted it to take were, you know, maybe a little under the legal limit for the Federation.
Gross. I mean, he's making it look like his wife.
He's hiding a killer alien.
I mean, okay.
You know?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I've never been under the throes of something that he's a puts its sucker on the tip of my penis and sucks the salt out.
He's a pedophile. That's what he is.
Jesus, man. That's a harsh joke based on a lot of fucking...
It learns from a lot of assumptions. It'll do anything to get that salt.
Then it attacks Spock. And Spock does that first. It's the first green blood Spock thing. Like, oh, I spawned from a different ocean. My blood is not salty?
Yeah, there's no salt.
My salt tastes peppery? My blood is peppery? Has paprika in it?
Yeah, what is in his blood? There's no salt in his blood?
There's just no salt.
It's nothing but francium. That's what...
100% francium.
That's what my blood is. It's francium. Well, he says that his people came out of a different ocean than ours, than humans did. But he also makes reference that earlier in the episode, that Vulcan has no moon. And when he made that reference before I'd finished watching the episode...
Oh, yeah, he does say that.
I was like, good luck with fucking tides, asshole. That's all I could think to myself when he said there was no moon, and then he said he came out of the ocean. I'm like, no, you fucking didn't. You don't have tides, you stupid dick.
He could still come out of the ocean.
What? Stagnant swamp? Has no movement because there's no fucking tides?
There would still be movement from wind and seismic activity.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Alright. Good luck with that one.
Those things move ocean water.
Oh, yeah? As much as the moon?
No, not as much as the moon.
Well, there you go.
Maybe it's closer to the sun. The sun affects the tide. Vulcan's, like, really hot.
You're reaching further with that than I am with fucking pedophile anthropologists.
I am not. That is the fucking farthest reach. That's so...
It's a theory.
Okay. So the monster goes back to impersonating Nancy, goes into Bones' room like, oh no, they're after me to get Bones to protect it. And then the greatest fight scene ever. Captain Kirk comes in and is like, they're like, shoot it, because the monster's going to take the salt out of Captain Kirk.
We didn't... Oh yeah, they killed the doctor, by the by.
Oh, yeah. In between there, like, after it attacks Spock, it also kills the anthropologist. So clearly it's out of its mind, even though it's intelligent.
It's got to have that salt.
Yeah, got to have that salt. Why even run to Bones? Why not just kill Bones?
Well, because it needed to formulate an elaborate ruse where... It told Bones they were going to kill him so that he would kill, I guess, the entire fucking crew of the Enterprise?
Yeah, I guess.
To give this creature salt?
The end game is for her to start sucking the salt out at the tip of his penis? I don't know what's going on here.
Until they go to the salt planet of fucking whatever thing.
I'm sure there's a salt planet.
There must be a salt planet because obviously hers is fucking empty.
And Spock comes in and is like, kill it. Bones like, I can't, it's Nancy. And the greatest fight ever. Spock like gives it like six, gives Nancy like full on six Optimus Primes, which is the clasped hand, two arm swings.
I stopped counting.
Where Nancy barely even, like the lightest nudge. And the point is that the monster is more resilient than... human.
He was hammer fisting her fucking face and like neck and chest.
There were six.
I thought it went on for like
just
10
this.
Minutes.
Look, this to you.
It was hilarious and inappropriate. So my favorite kind of humor.
Then it just backhands, Spock.
Yeah.
And it goes to turn to kill Kirk. Kirk starts screaming. It turns into its original monstery Kraken hands form.
It's definitely got
the weird sucker face.
Octopus fingers and It was a terrible fucking costume.
It seems to be wearing a net.
It looks like
it's wearing a net as clothing. Like, why is it even wearing clothing?
It looks like one of those weird bad guys from Super Mario 2. Where it's just got the weird kind of penis nose thing. But...
what, Birdo? Is that the name of that?
Yeah, Birdo face with, like, half of a gas mask as the top of the head. And the rest of its body is like some sort of Scooby-Doo villain.
Some kind of swampy net.
Yeah, it's a net type. And green and shit.
I don't know. All the aliens kind of look like that in Star Trek because we're working with, you know, rubber suits. Depends on how much you want to change it. You want to give it a testicle head like the Talosians, you're good. But you want to change the appearance of an entire person, you're going to rubber suit.
It looked like a homeless bag lady with a net over her. And Birdo face.
Cracking hands.
Cracking hands. They spent more money on those hands than the rest of the fucking outfit.
Well, I mean, they look good. Which finally explains the skin modeling, by the way. They're like, oh, yeah, the skin is... all the crew, people who die, have these red circles on their faces. And this finally explains why pulling the salt out of them gives them weird circles all over their face. Because it's got sucker hands. As any good salt-stealing monster would.
Yeah, which makes sense. So...
so then, despite the fact that we definitely have a stun setting, they just blast it right away with death.
He shoots it.
Yeah, he shoots it.
And then it turns back into Nancy, the woman he loved, so he was forced to shoot it again to kill it.
You're right, he has to shoot it twice.
And apparently the phaser that Kirk uses doesn't have a stun setting.
No, he turned it on stun for the...
yeah, not when shooting a one-of-a-kind fucking space alien. So,
where were the Talosians on saving those things?
So, we're two episodes in to the first season of the first series, and already two different captains have wiped out an entirely unique race of people.
Oh, I mean, we're going to get into it. We should probably do a count at the end of the series. How many one-of-a-kind things Kirk wipes out?
Because
he does
them.
It all the time.
All of them. I hate to see the guy in a museum.
I'm surprised that that in Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, he didn't go back in time and kill all the whales just to settle this for good.
I thought he was going to eject him into space when he got him. I got these two humpbacks. I saved them. We invented fucking clear aluminum or clear steel. I don't remember.
Transparent aluminum.
Yeah. So we invented transparent aluminum.
Well, it already existed.
And, we fucked up time a little bit. We went around the sun, which was cool, really fast. And somehow that sent us back in time. All right. But whatever. So I got these two humpback whales. I'm going to now take them back to the future and eject them into fucking space because they're the only things that exist in this time. Fuck them.
Here's what I'm...
Kirk, out.
Here's what I'm thinking. At the end of the episode, here's why I brought that up. At the end of the episode, he like looks, you know, wistfully at the view screen and says... just like the buffalo. But what he should have said was, just like the blue whales. If he had said just like the blue whales, it would have been awesome, because it would have been like this little tiny piece that Star Trek IV could have been calling back to, that whales were extinct, instead of implying that buffalo were extinct, even though they weren't currently in the...
it would have been better
if... and then they never mentioned buffalo again, that I know of.
Well, it would have been better if he would have named, like... the last ship that went to the island that had the dodos and they were the people that wiped them out completely. Like the last one.
Okay.
There's one dodo left. So like just like that, we were the ship that wiped out an entire race of people.
Okay, that would have definitely been more
enjoy.
That would have definitely been more directly accurate or
better
parallel.
Maybe they couldn't remember the ship, but they remembered the buffalo.
Yeah. I guess. I just would have liked, if it was whales, it would have been a nice little tie-in.
They made to so many references to fucking buffalo.
It's just the two or three.
Yeah, but there's a whole... That's a lot. The anthropologist gives a whole, speech about, how one herd covered three different states. And it's like, okay.
Hey, do you think they should have not killed the salt monster? I mean, it's a clear threat. I think they did the right thing. I mean, I think they did what they kind of had to.
Just stun it.
Who's trying to kill...
Put it in a force field. Now that you know that it can change shapes, just contain it into one room.
But they shot it, and it kept coming. They weren't unsure of how, strong it was.
Keep shooting it with stun. Eventually it'll just be stunned.
Well, but is it going to be before somebody else gets killed? So you think they should have tried harder to save it?
A little bit.
And I'm like, expediency, they just killed it.
Don't give me that huge moral fucking background of the buffalo of we need to not kill the last of everything. And then at the end of the episode, you just kill the fucking last of everything.
Yeah, but the guy who was all like, yeah, we need to save it like the buffalo, was killed by it.
That's true, and he was a pedophile.
Not canon. There's no evidence to support that.
There's no evidence against it. Apparently that's good enough for America.
Jesus. Okay, so I like this. This was actually the first episode of Star Trek I ever saw, Star Trek the original series. I don't know why, but I know that this is the first episode I actually ever ended up seeing. I got to watch it again. I enjoyed it. A little bit of nostalgia, but... it's good. Introduce the new crew, which becomes the standard crew.
Well, except for that rapey ensign who died, and all those other people who died.
Well, yes, all those people were throwaways. They're what later will be called red shirts, right?
Yeah.
Nothing to mean.
They introduced
unless there's some expanded universe book that's all about the adventures of crewman fetal alcohol syndrome before the man trap.
It could be it. Maybe the name of the episode is in reference to how the scientist was there, but then was like, oh, I probably shouldn't stay on this fucking planet because it's dead and I can't learn anything from it. And then this very sultry underage space alien just got him.
Okay, I'll give you that we don't know how old the alien is. Maybe the alien is a child or adolescent. Because that would explain it being intelligent, but still being fucking stupid.
Well, lots of people are intelligent, but still fucking stupid.
Right. Anyway.
It is just a TV show. Maybe we're analyzing the motives behind...
That's the point. We're getting deep.
Well, I don't understand.
Deep into surgery.
Its hands have fucking suckers that only suck out salt from living beings. That's an evolutionary adaptation it has. So, did this species of people, whatever, did they just evolve to just cannibalize each other's salt?
Yeah, where are the other things it used to feed on? I mean, it can clearly just eat salt directly because they're out of salt tablets. Where's that salt just coming from? I mean, where did it used to get salt from before it ate all his salt and started killing things? I mean, clearly there was enough that it survived up till that point 2 years ago.
Oh,
when it kills.
He was on the planet for 5 years.
Right, but it kills his wife 2 years before. That's what he says.
Yeah. But what the fuck did it eat?
It eats food.
What did that dude eat? What did the pedophile eat? He had a fucking...
God damn it. He's still referring to him as the pedophile.
Oh, sorry. What did Gary Glitter eat?
Okay, so another episode that I loved...
It evolved This guy is just stupid.
No doubt that is a bizarre, specific, very specific evolution. But
why would it even want to continue? Doesn't it realize it's the last one? There's like no more. There's no point.
Yeah, I mean, they say it's intelligent, but like clearly we're questioning the intelligence of it the whole time. How intelligent is it? It's self-aware to some point, but is it...
It fucking learns Swahili.
Can it understand things like loneliness, despair? I mean, those...
I guess. You said it needed love.
You're right. I don't know. Maybe it going back after Bones was its way of committing suicide.
I mean, really elaborate. Fuck. Doesn't make any sense. It's a bad Twilight Zone episode. That's what it was.
Look, man, I know these are both 60s TV shows, and they share actors, but you cannot just compare every episode to bad Twilight Zone episodes.
It's the benchmark. It's like it's the best television's ever gotten.
The Twilight Zone or Star Trek?
Twilight Zone.
Well, it is great. I just watched the entire series.
I watch it at least once every 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, well, maybe we wrap this up. We get on the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, we're digressing.
We are just burning up time now.
Well, yeah, Peter's going to have a field day cutting this up. Thanks, Peter.
Yeah, thanks, Peter.
Fuck you, Anthony.
Big shout out to Octopus Caveman.
So yeah, it was a good episode. It didn't feel like 11 hours like the pilot. And I wasn't just wanting to murder myself. So yeah, thumbs up.
Yeah, I think it's a good start to the series that we already know a lot about, but watching it fresh. All right, thank you for tuning in to this week's episode.
Tuning in?
What do you want, man?
They don't have a fucking dial. Thanks for listening. How about that?
Okay, sorry. Sorry, Professor.
Weren't you back to the fucking 60s?
I will go back to the 60s where I can watch these episodes new.
When a woman shouldn't be on the bridge.
Yeah, I've seen it before in a rerun.
And you gotta go get Admiral Paco's Mexican red chilies that you pick by. What the fuck is happening in these episodes?
Oh, come on. I'll latch onto the chili scene. That was only to fill time between medical. We already talked about it. Thanks for listening, Professor.
Are you saying a professor listens to this?
There could be a professor listening.
Fuck. Probably anthropology because they have nothing better to do with their fucking lives.
My apologies to any anthropologists
listening. Not me. Fuck you, pseudoscience.
All right.
You and the psychologist go fucking hang out and talk about nothing. You heard me.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back with another episode.